Please turn again to Daniel chapter 4. For a few moments this afternoon, I want to draw your attention to the subject of Daniel the preacher. And I want to base my remarks in verse 27, although we will be looking at other verses in this chapter. Verse 27 says, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness." Perhaps with this portion of scripture open before us, we could bow in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the privilege of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for the privilege of serving thee. And O God, we pray, Lord, as we would turn now to this passage of scripture, that you would speak to all of our hearts, both saint and sinner alike. What a great responsibility the gospel preacher has to declare the full counsel of God. We thank thee, Lord, and we praise thee for the privilege of preaching Christ and him crucified. And O God, we pray, Lord, today that as we seek to uplift the Lord Jesus, that you would come, Lord, and fill us afresh with the gracious Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for those who are not saved, that you would save them, reach down and pluck them as brands from the burning. We pray, Lord, now that you would come and anoint us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. O God, we're so conscious that without thee we can do nothing. We recognize, Lord, that we are but sinners saved by grace. But Lord, we thank thee that you have called us to preach the gospel, and we thank thee for thy mercy to us in giving us that wonderful privilege. But O God, we need help in order to preach thy word. Therefore, we pray that you would anoint us with the Holy Spirit of God. If we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask. O God, in childlike faith, I ask just now, fill me afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. In Daniel chapter 4, we read about another dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. In this dream, the king of Babylon saw a tree. The tree that the king saw in his dream, it had deep roots downward, and upward the tree grew until the height of the tree reached into the heavens. This tree was strong, it was fertile, it was fruitful. The wild animals of the field had shelter under it, and the birds of the air nested in its boughs. It was a tree that supplied food for everyone around it. It was a mighty tree. It was a great tree. But as Nebuchadnezzar continued to dream, something spectacular happened. A watcher, or a holy one, came down from heaven and cried against the tree. This holy one from heaven said, "Cut down the tree, cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, scatter its fruit, let the beasts get away from under it, and the birds from its branches, let them fly away." But in this cutting down of the tree, the stump of the tree and its roots were to be left in the ground. And a band of iron and brass was to be put around the stump to keep it from being completely destroyed by the wild beasts of the field. Immediately after this, in the dream, the Holy One that came down from heaven explained to Nebuchadnezzar that the person represented by this tree was to live like a wild beast of the field. But eventually, he would be restored to his former glory. At that point, the king awoke from his dream, but he could not understand what the dream meant. He then called for the wise men of Babylon to interpret the dream, but they could not. The king then called for Daniel,
And it was Daniel who again interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream and told him the meaning of his dream. It could not have been easy for Daniel to tell King Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of this dream. Because, as we're going to find out when we consider the dream's interpretation in a moment, God was revealing through the interpretation of the dream what was going to happen to the king of Babylon. Things were going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar that were not going to be very pleasant. And Daniel had the task of telling the king these things. But Daniel here, as he serves God in this way, remains true to the word of God and reveals only to Nebuchadnezzar the truth as God reveals it to him. Here we have an example of Daniel the preacher, of Daniel the prophet, of Daniel the proclaimer of God's truth. He receives the truth from God and he declares the truth unashamedly as he receives this truth from God about Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Very simply, at the end of our meeting today, I want to draw your attention to Daniel the preacher. We have considered many aspects of the life of Daniel. And we have seen that he was a godly man, and a man of prayer, and a man of faith, and a man who trusted the Lord at all times. But here we have another aspect of Daniel's life upon this earth. He was a preacher. He was a prophet. He was a proclaimer of God's truth. And as we come to consider this subject, I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. I believe that there's a message here for both saint and sinner alike. But especially if you're here today and you're not saved, maybe you've been coming to the mission and the Lord has spoken to you and you're still not saved. Well, my prayer is that even this Lord's day, that you will come right through for Christ and that you'll be saved even before you leave this church this afternoon. What do we learn here about Daniel the preacher? Well, first of all, I want you to notice Daniel's faithful interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. God was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar here. God had a message for Nebuchadnezzar here. And God spoke to the king through this dream. Look how faithful Daniel was in giving Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation. Look at verse 20. Here we have Daniel and he's coming to interpret this dream that the king had. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth. Look at verse 22. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. In other words, this tree that the king saw in his dream and all that happened to this tree was a picture of Nebuchadnezzar and what was going to happen to him in the days that lay ahead. God was going to bring the king down. God was going to humble the king. God was going to remove the king from his throne. And just as the tree in the king's dream was cut down, so the king of Babylon would be cut down. He would be driven into the wilderness and become like the wild beasts. But after a certain period of time, God would have mercy on him and restore him to his kingdom again after he repented. And just as the root of the tree was preserved in the dream, so too would the king of Babylon be preserved by the mercy of God. And Daniel faithfully, as he stood face to face with the king of Babylon, told the king these things. As God revealed the dream to Daniel, Daniel gave the interpretation to the king. Daniel held back nothing. And what I want you to see is this, Daniel's faithfulness in declaring everything that God told him about the dream. Daniel was faithful in his interpretation of the dream. He was a faithful preacher. You know, men and women, this is the duty of every preacher. This is the responsibility of every minister of the gospel. Indeed, let me go a step further. This is the responsibility of every missionary, of every children's worker, of every evangelist, of every Sabbath school teacher, to preach faithfully the full revelation of God's precious word. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples in Matthew 10, verse 27, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetop." In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, the Apostle Paul said to the young minister, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." In Acts 4, after Peter and John were forbidden to preach the gospel, they said in verse 20, "We cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard." And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, but necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." The preacher must preach the full counsel of God, because it is only as we preach the full counsel of God that we will be faithful to the God of heaven and also faithful to the souls of men. That's why the preacher must preach about heaven as well as about hell. That's why the preacher must preach about the wrath of God as well as the love of God. That's why the preacher must preach about the judgment of God as well as preaching about the grace of God and the mercy of God. And that's why it is so important when the preacher gets up to preach, whether he's preaching in a pulpit like this or whether he is preaching and teaching children in the Sabbath school, that he must declare what the Bible says and give a correct interpretation of the precious word of God. Thank God, over these past 2 weeks, the preacher has been faithful. And night by night, as we have sat under the sound of God's word, he has held back nothing. And we praise the Lord for that. And we say amen to everything that the evangelist in this mission has declared. My friend, it's our responsibility to preach the full revelation of God's word, whether men like it or not. And when Daniel stood before King Nebuchadnezzar on this occasion, he faithfully interpreted the dream. Just this week, I received some literature through my door. It was from the Jehovah Witnesses. And I read with interest some of the things that they believed. One of the headings in one of the articles state this: "What happens to us when we die?" And the article goes on to say very clearly that God will not punish the wicked in eternal hell forever. My friend, that's a lie. That's a lie. Because when we study the Word of God and when we read the Bible, the Word of God clearly teaches that those who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior will be lost forever and forever and ever. And the Bible teaches that there's literal fire in hell. And the Bible teaches that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the death spoken of there is eternal death in a lost eternity. They're not giving a faithful interpretation of the Word of God. Of course, the Jehovah Witnesses are a cult, but they're deceiving hundreds, yet thousands, yet tens of thousands across this world today, as many as all the cults are doing. Oh, what a responsibility the preacher has. He must preach, "Thus and thus saith the Lord." He's not to preach his own ideas. He's not to preach his own theology. He's not to preach his own ideology.
He's not to declare his own views. He is to read the Word of God and to give a faithful interpretation of what God says in his truth. Daniel was a faithful preacher. He faithfully interpreted the dream as God revealed it to him. He revealed it to Nebuchadnezzar. But notice something else here, and this is very important as well when we consider Daniel the preacher. I want you to notice, secondly, Daniel's courageous exhortation. Look what we read in verse 27. After Daniel gave the interpretation, he said this in verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness. In this verse, what is Daniel doing? He's applying the word of God. Daniel here exhorts Nebuchadnezzar to repent. He exhorts the king not only to believe God's word, but to turn away from his iniquity. Now, he does it tenderly, and he does it lovingly, but he does it courageously. And although Daniel is speaking to a king who could have had him executed at any moment, Daniel realizes that he must be faithful to the King of Kings and to the soul of Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, after he gives the king the interpretation, he applies it. He doesn't stop there. He says to Nebuchadnezzar, now Nebuchadnezzar, you know what God's going to do now. I exhort you to repent. I exhort you to turn away from your sin. It is the preacher's duty. It is the preacher's responsibility to apply God's word to the consciences of men. My friend, I can't save anyone. And the missionary can't save anyone. And the children's worker can't save anyone. And the evangelist can't save anyone. But it is the Christian worker's responsibility, the preacher's responsibility, to seek to do all in his power to persuade men to turn from their sin and seek the Lord in salvation. If the preacher fails in this respect, he is not being faithful in his ministry. In his ministry. You know, the Apostle Paul was a preacher who always sought to apply God's word to the consciences of men. Just keep your hand in Daniel chapter 4 and turn over to Acts chapter 26, a familiar story in the Bible. Here we have the Apostle Paul standing before King Agrippa. And of course, as Paul stood before King Agrippa, he preached the gospel to the king. He gave the king a correct interpretation of the message of saving grace. Look what it says in verse 22 and 23. Having therefore obtained help of God, this is Paul speaking to the king, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. There we have Paul preaching the gospel, interpreting the message of saving grace to King Agrippa. But then when we read on down the chapter, you will see how he applied God's word to King Agrippa personally. Look at verse 27. And you'll see Paul applying the gospel. Look what it says there. King Agrippa calls him by name. Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou,
but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, accept these bounds. Here we have another example in the Bible of God's servant applying the word to the consciences of men. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, we read these words, again the words of the Apostle Paul, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade men. My friend, it's not only my responsibility and duty to preach the word. It's not only my responsibility and duty to reveal unto you what the Bible teaches, to give a correct interpretation of the word of God, to preach the full counsel of God, but it is also my responsibility to seek to persuade you to come to Christ. And that's what I would do today if you're here in this meeting and you're not saved. I would exhort you to repentance. I would exhort you to put your faith and trust today. Come to Christ today. Don't leave it until this afternoon. Don't leave it until another convenient season. Oh, I urge upon you. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And if the Lord is speaking to your heart today, and I believe He is, and I believe that He has spoken to your heart throughout these past 2 weeks, I would exhort you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ now. There are many examples of the preacher seeking to persuade men to come to Christ. In the Bible, we have only mentioned but two of them. Let me draw your attention to another example, Acts chapter 2. Turn over to it. Here we have Peter, and Peter's preaching. Preaching on the day of Pentecost. And he's preaching the gospel. He's interpreting the word of God to the people that are listening to him. And he's giving, like Daniel, a faithful interpretation. He's being faithful to the full counsel of God. Look what it says there in verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken. Now he's coming to apply this word to the consciences of the people that's listening to him. He has preached the gospel. He has told them that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Now he's coming to apply it. He's coming to point out their sin to them. Him being determined, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And then look at verse 37, near the end of the sermon. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They realized their sin. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. Oh, my friend, if you're not saved in this meeting today, we love you in the Lord. We want to preach the gospel to you. And we have sought to do that, not only over these past 2 weeks, but for many years now. But we preach the gospel to you so that you will respond positively to the message of saving grace. You see, you need to step out for Christ. It's not enough just to sit in the pew and listen. It's not enough just to sit and hear the correct interpretation of what the Bible teaches. It's not only enough to have a knowledge in your head of the gospel of Christ and the word of God. You need to respond to the word of God. And I, as a gospel preacher, it's my duty to exhort you to respond. To turn and believe and to accept the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer. And to repent of your sin. Oh, Daniel was a faithful preacher, wasn't he? He was faithful in giving the correct interpretation before the king of Babylon, who could have had him executed at any time. Oh, the tree, Nebuchadnezzar. Thou art the tree
The tree's representing you. And very soon, Nebuchadnezzar, God's going to remove you from your throne. And you're going to be driven out into the wilderness. And you're going to live like the wild beasts. And you're going to be there for a number of days, a number of weeks, until God shows mercy to you again. And you call upon Him in repentance. And then after He gave him the interpretation and told him exactly what God was going to do, He says, now you need to repent. You need to turn from your sin. Oh, what a preacher Daniel was. Notice something else, but turn back to Daniel chapter 4. Notice, thirdly, Daniel's godly reputation. Although King Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked and ungodly sinner at this time, he respected Daniel because he knew that Daniel always told him the truth. Look with me there at Daniel 4 verse 8 and 9 and you'll see this. But at the last, Daniel came in before me. This is Nebuchadnezzar speaking. Really, when you study Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar's given his testimony because Nebuchadnezzar eventually did repent and he got saved. And it's one of the unique conversions that we have in the Bible. But in verse 8 and 9, we see the reputation that Daniel had before this king, even before Nebuchadnezzar got right with God. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Here was a man who respected Daniel. And although at this point he had not repented, and although at this point he had not turned from his sin, when he called Daniel initially to interpret this dream, he had respect for the man of God. Daniel had a godly reputation. Daniel had a reputation of always preaching the truth. What a reputation that is. Oh, the preacher must always be one of godly reputation, and he must always be known as a man who can be trusted to tell the truth when it comes to the preaching of God's word. Now, there might be many who will not like him for telling the truth. There might be many who will speak out against him for telling the truth. But nevertheless, the preacher must be one who is known for always preaching the truth. This dream of Nebuchadnezzar, of course, it came to pass. And the result of this brought the king to repentance. Now, Nebuchadnezzar did not repent immediately when Daniel exhorted him to repent. But he eventually repented. As I have said, this chapter is Nebuchadnezzar giving his testimony. Look what is said in verse 33 of Daniel chapter 4. It's important that we see this. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore the dream, the interpretation that Daniel gave about the dream came to pass. The word of God came to pass. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Look at verse 37, the last verse. Here's Nebuchadnezzar's testimony after he was saved, after the dream, the interpretation of the dream came true, after he was driven out into the wilderness, after he was taken down from his throne, and then after he repented, the Lord saved him. And he says this in verse 37,
Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Oh, the king was converted. The king was converted. But you can see there, even before the king was converted, even before the king did repent, the great high esteem he held Daniel in. You know, when you consider the conversion of Nebuchadnezzar, there's a wonderful truth there that everyone in the meeting who's not saved would need to learn. And it's this, and I want you to listen very carefully here, especially if you're found in the meeting and you're not a Christian. What is God going to have to do in your life for you to repent? For you to be saved. God had to dethrone a king, bring him down from his high throne, and bring him into the wilderness, where he became like the wild beast of the field, before he would repent. You know, sometimes I wonder what God's going to have to do to those who sit in this church week in and week out who are not saved, in order to bring them to repentance. What is God going to have to do to you, friend, to bring you on to repentance? Will he have to bring you down? Will he have to take all that you have off you? Will he even have to touch a loved one in order to make you listen? Will he? I'm often reminded of the prodigal son. Remember, he left home with his inheritance. He went to his father and he says, "Father, give me the portion of mine inheritance." And the father gave it to him. And he left home. And his intention was never to go back to the father's house again. Never to go back. And as he left the father's house that day, he left a rich man with plenty. And you know the story. How he went into the far country and he wasted his substance in riotous living. And he ended up having nothing. He ended up a poor man. The rich man became a poor man. And because of the famine that he found himself in, he found himself at the pig pen, eating the very husks that the swine would eat. Did God not bring him down? God brought him down, right down to the pig pen. And for a Jew, that was unspeakable. Feeding the pigs. And it wasn't until he was at the pig pen that he started to remember the Father's house. Father's home. And it wasn't until he was brought down to the pig pen that he repented. My friend, God can bring you down. And far better that God would bring you down and you get saved than go on in your riches and in your health without getting saved. Far better. Because at least after you would be brought down and got saved, you'd be ready for heaven. You'd be ready for heaven. Oh, how God brought this king down. The word of God came to pass. The word of God was true, you see. The interpretation that Daniel gave was true. God's word's true, men and women. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God's word is true. God's word, every prophecy in this book, every word that is written in this book will come to pass. It will. Just as Nebuchadnezzar's dream was fulfilled right to the last detail, Jesus Christ is coming again.
And when he comes again, he will bring his saints home to glory. And those who are not ready and prepared will be lost. They will be lost. And you will be lost. No matter whether you have sat in this church all your life and listened to the preacher and agreed with the word of God, you will be lost. That's why you need to come to Christ today. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. O God, we pray for those in this congregation who are rejecting thee. Who are rejecting thee. Who are deliberately and stubbornly resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit in their life. O God, have mercy on them. Lord, bring them down from their ivory tower. Humble them. Take away the pride from them. And Lord, if you have to, drive them out into the wilderness. And let them live with a wild beast for a few months. So that they can see that there's a God in heaven. And that he ruleth over the kingdoms of men. O God, bless us now, we pray thee. As we leave this house, we pray that you would go with us. And Lord, that you would bless the mission this afternoon.